Well, David, welcome to the Space Show.
It's great to be on. Thank you.
Now, you interviewed most of the people who either landed on the moon or went into orbit around it. Who did you miss?
Well, I think the only person, as it were, that we you might have interviewed that we didn't interview is Neil Armstrong. We interview everybody else who walked on the moon. And since the film is about personality, it's really a character piece. It's really not the story of Apollo. It's who are these men? What was this experience for them personally? What do they think about it? We obviously wanted to have the people who'd been on the moon. And then we had Mike Collins, obviously, being on Apollo 11 as the command module pilot. He's important. And then Jim Lovell, of course, who went to the moon twice on 8 and 13 but never actually landed. So we felt those were the people. We didn't want to have too many people. I mean, I think 10 is about as many people as you can cope with in a film and still feel that you get to know them as individuals. And I think, funnily enough, if you are going to miss anybody, the person to miss is Neil Armstrong, because he's such a strong presence in the film anyway. We knew that he wouldn't give us an interview. He, in fact, was kind enough to write and tell us and explain why he doesn't give these kind of interviews. And I think he has a valid reason for not wanting to give interviews, and we perfectly happily accepted that. But what it meant was it gave us the opportunity to ask the other astronauts about him and sort of paint a portrait of Armstrong through the eyes of his colleagues, which I think is very revealing. It means that, you know, he's the one astronaut in the film who remains young as he was then. We see the others as they are now and as they were then, and I think that's quite poignant in a way. But I rather like the fact that he's the guy who remains forever young.
Did Armstrong explain why he didn't want to be in the film?
Yes, I mean, I think it's a very simple thing, which is that he feels that he doesn't want people to run away with the idea that Neil Armstrong walking on the moon is really an achievement of Neil Armstrong. He thinks he's the messenger, not the message, that, as he says in the film, in the interview that is in the film, done with him at the time, you know, we the crew of Apollo 11 are privileged to represent the United States. It's very interesting in this mission. I mean, it's very interesting that the Apollo 11 mission patch does not have the names of the crew on it. And that's most unusual for NASA mission patches. And I think it's a conscious attempt by Armstrong not to hog the limelight in a personal way, because I think he thinks that will distract from the true significance. The significance of Apollo 11 is not that Neil Armstrong walked on the moon, but that man walked on the moon. And he said, you know, if you want to know what it was like to walk on the moon, then you're much better talking to people who spent much more time on the moon than I did. So I don't think I have anything to add to what they might tell you. And, you know, I just think that if I'm talking about my personal experiences, you risk missing the point of what was achieved by NASA in landing a man on the moon. So I think in some ways he's saying, look, you know, it's a bit like I'm the unknown soldier. You know, I represent everybody else. And, you know, if I start talking about my own personal experience, it just detracts from that. And I like, in the film, as you've seen the film, you know, when Neil Armstrong steps onto the moon, the film becomes about how that moment is shared by everybody, by his colleagues in Mission Control, by everybody around the world who's watching on TV. So everybody, as Mike Collins says, when they went round on their tour of the world after they got back from the moon, that everybody said, not, you know, oh, well done, you Americans did it, but we did it. We finally did it. We, the human race. And everybody watching is cheering, not because, look, there's an American on the moon, or not because there's Neil Armstrong on the moon, but look, one of us, a human being's on the moon. And I think he's made a conscious effort over the years to take his own ego out of the story. And I think that's a very valid, not to say admirable, thing to do. So I didn't feel hard done by that he didn't want to be interviewed.
What was the overall impression you gained in chatting with these astronauts?
Well, I mean, there's an urban myth that, you know, the men went to the moon, they came back and they went mad. I think, you know, that they're 10 of the sanest individuals you could hope to meet. There's a sort of grounded quality to them. I mean, you know, it's a terrible cliche, but they're down to earth. And I think it's because, you know, they really know what the earth is. And, you know, I was expecting that they might have rather inflated egos, be a bit like, film stars or rock musicians or something, as famous people can sometimes have overly distended egos. But actually, they don't. I think it's, you know, it's this thing that Jim Lovell talks about. You know, when you've been somewhere where you can hold your hand up and obscure the whole earth behind your thumb, it doesn't really make sense to have a big ego when the earth itself is very small. And so it's that down-to-earth quality. It's a sort of wisdom, almost serenity. They're men with nothing to prove. I think that comes across quite strongly in the film, I think. And it's very appealing, actually.
We're talking with David Sington, the producer, director, what is it?
Director.
Director of In the Shadow of the Moon. Now, were there things that the astronauts told you that they wouldn't have said 30 years ago?
I think, yes. I think quite a lot of things. Edgar Mitchell said to me that he thought that going to the moon was such a profound experience that it had taken all of them many years, not to say decades, to really process the experience, to be able to talk about it, to really understand it themselves. And certainly I think that there's a quality to their reminiscences in the film which I haven't seen in other interviews that they've given, perhaps closer to the events. And I think that we were very fortunate in our timing of getting them at this point in their lives.
You partly referred to this already, but what impact did the trips to the moon have on the astronauts?
I think that what it gives them, I mean, obviously there are their reactions vary in different ways, but I think what they have in common is a sense of extraordinary sense of perspective on who we are. I mean, we are the self-conscious animals on this planet. We're the ones who have some knowledge of our own situation. But I think, you know, until human beings left the Earth and were able to look back and see what the Earth really is, our knowledge of ourselves was incomplete. So I think maybe I'm overly influenced by 2001 here, but I see Apollo as a sort of a step change in human self-consciousness. And these are the people who actually took the step. I mean, they've communicated to us via the pictures particularly, which have had a huge impact, what we are, where we are. But they, of course, feel it viscerally. And I think with all of them, there is a slight sense of impatience. The rest of us haven't quite got the message. We don't act yet as if we understood what our real situation is on the Earth. And one sees this in our attitudes, not just to the environment, but also our political attitudes one to another.
So how has that impact changed over time? You know, now nearly 40 years later, how is it different from what they experienced at the time?
I don't know, except I'm not sure how to answer that, except to say that I think that if you look at, as we did in preparing this film, if you look at some of the interviews they gave shortly after getting back from the moon when they appeared on all the American chat shows, what they're saying lacks the spiritual dimension that they clearly express in this film. And I think ultimately our sort of coda moves into quite deep water, really, of you know, what is it to be a human? What's our relationship to you know, God, if there is one, to, you know, the environment, to creation, to each other as human beings? What is the world really? What is human life? I'm not sure they were ready to talk about those things, back in the 70s when they just got back.
Okay. In what way did your film end up compared to the film you envisaged when you began?
I think it's I think we achieved what we set out to achieve, except that the film is actually much funnier than I was expecting. The one thing I sort of was hoping that it would be visually spectacular, that it would reveal things and show things we hadn't seen before. I hoped it would be moving, nostalgic, and that And I think all those things are there, but I didn't expect that it would be so funny, because I hadn't really appreciated just how funny these guys are. And I think that's just only a plus thing.
You did a lot of interviews there. Was there a lot of good stuff left on the cutting room floor? And and can we see it? Expect to see it on the DVD, perhaps?
The answer to both those questions is yes.
Oh, marvellous. Because it was obvious, you know, that, you know, as you do in these sorts of films, you've taken... obviously, the comments relevant to your film, but there's obviously they were saying things before, and we're going to say things after that didn't appear in the film.
Yeah, no, and we've got an hour of extra material on the DVD, which talk about various things that aren't in the film. Are very, very interesting. I mean, some of the missions, like Apollo missions 9 and 10, which we didn't really talk about in the film, the sort of the test in, you know, training missions, and other things like, for example, what effect this was having on family life and things like that. So lots of very interesting things on the DVD, but that'll be coming out shortly. But in the immediate future, I think it's in cinemas from March 6th.
Marvellous. In what way is your film different from Al Reinert's For All Mankind?
I like that film very much. And in fact, in sort of embarking on our film, you know, we were a little intimidated by For All Mankind, because I think that's very successful. I think what Al Reinert's film does is it takes you on a journey from the Earth to the Moon and back again. And you know, it starts in the White Room with them suiting up, and it ends up, you know, with a splashdown. And you certainly feel like you've spent a lot of time in the spacecraft. Obviously, you don't see any of the astronauts today, so you don't really know, you know, they're talking in voiceover, you don't know who's who. I think our film is... So Al Reinert's film is a sort of experience of going to the moon. It's like he's carrying you along in a spacecraft. I think it's very successful in that way. Our film is actually about these men as men. It's their story, really, you know, from childhood in some cases. It's you know, what was going on in Vietnam. You know, how did they feel about that? How did they feel about... So it's a character piece about these men, as opposed to, I think, a sort of experiential thing, which is Al Reinert's thing, of what it might feel like, what it might be like to be in that spacecraft for that length of time. So I think, you know, they're complementary in a way. You know, I think that, you know, it's... I think our film is funnier than For All Mankind.
Yes, it certainly had the audiences here in Melbourne chuckling away.
Yes.
Now, your film has the sense of a glorious past that's sort of slipped away.
Yes.
And yet your film's got no sense of the future. Is this deliberate?
Well, I think it reflects the people, you know, it's the astronaut stories. I mean, there's no commentary from me. They're the guys who talk, and it's in their words, and so they're men looking back. So the film is an exercise in looking back. You know, I think the future is interesting. I mean, you know, Apollo, NASA is embarked on Project Orion to return to the moon. Interestingly enough, NASA really liked the film. One of the senior managers said he wanted everybody working on Project Orion to see the film, and so NASA arranged to show it. We had simultaneous showings back in July on the anniversary of the Apollo 11 landing at 11 different NASA centers all around the states, and thousands of NASA employees and their families saw the film, which was great. We were very flattered by that. I think in some ways, without mentioning anything about Project Orion, it does sort of... The film is a very powerful statement of why these great human adventures of space travel are powerful and valuable and might be worth undertaking, because they have this ability to bring mankind together and make us realize that ultimately we share one very small little, you know, globe whizzing through space. We're actually all living on a spaceship. We don't normally think of the Earth in those terms, but in a sense that's what it is. And, you know, we better learn to get along, because, you know, we don't have that much elbow room.
David, could you tell us a little bit about the closing credits? Because most people in the film, you know, the credits start, they get up and walk out. But in this film, it's not advised. Why?
Well, it's quite. We have some jokes at the end. I mean, we our last question for the astronauts in each interview was, tell us what you have to say to people who think it's all a hoax, and so they answer that, and it's quite amusing. I think some of the things that they say at the end, we couldn't really ignore that, even though of course it's ridiculous.
Okay,
that's great. Well, I'm getting a wind-up signal from Christy here. So.
Okay, last question then. How has In the Shadow of the Moon been received by audiences in different countries?
Oh, it's been Australia is the third country to show the film. We've had it exhibition in the States and in the UK. It's gone down extremely well. I mean, I think especially in America, audiences reacted to it with enormous emotion, actually, because I think Americans, it came at a time when Americans were, you know, are feeling a bit battered, and it was good for people to remember what America could achieve when it's at its best. And I hope it sort of made people feel that there is a different American, there's a different aspect to being a great power than just sort of sticking your tanks everywhere. That sometimes the point of being a great power is to do great things, not just to be in charge.
Okay, so that's In the Shadow of the Moon. When is it being released here in Australia, David?
March the 6th, it'll be in cinemas.
Well, we look forward to seeing it and encourage all our listeners to go.
Yes, go and see it. Go and see it the opening weekend, because you never know with films. You have to have a good first weekend or you may not get a second.
Yes, it's a bit of a funny industry. Yeah. Well, David, thank you for joining us on The Space Show.
Thank you very much indeed. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.